Come, Holy Spirit, would you do your work among us today? Would you speak to us through these words? I ask in Jesus' name.
Please be seated. A teenage boy had just passed his driving test, so he asked his father about the use of the car. And his dad said, well, I'll make a deal with you. If you get your grade point average up from a C to a B, and if you study your Bible more, and if you get your hair cut, then we'll talk about the car. So the boy thought about it, and he agreed with that arrangement. So about 6 weeks later, his father came to him and said, you know, son, I'm really proud of you. You got your grades up, and you have been studying your Bible a lot more, but I'm disappointed that you haven't gotten your hair cut yet. And his son said, well, you know, Dad, I've been studying the Scriptures, and I read that Samson had long hair, John the Baptist had long hair, and Jesus probably had long hair as well. And his dad said, well, did you also notice that they walked everywhere they went? John the Baptist was kind of a strange fellow, kind of a strange prophet, and yet if you think about it, all the prophets were kind of strange in one way or another. John the Baptist came in fulfillment of an ancient prophecy of Malachi, which God said through Malachi, behold, I am sending you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and terrible day of the Lord. So the Jews were looking forward to the coming of Elijah in preparation for the coming of the Messiah. They believed that Elijah would come and prepare the way and announce the coming of the Messiah. They, in fact, continue to believe that in the fact that they have a cup that they celebrate during the Passover meal, which is called the Cup of Elijah. They are still looking for Elijah to come to announce the coming of the Messiah, not realizing that Elijah has already come in the form of John the Baptist to announce the coming of the Messiah, Jesus Christ. I printed off for you in your bulletin a sheet that you're welcome to take home with you about the connection between John the Baptist and Elijah. And so I encourage you to take that home with you and read that, and I think you'll find it very interesting. But Jesus said that John the Baptist is the Elijah that the Jews were looking for to come. He wasn't the reincarnation of Elijah, but he was one coming in the spirit and the power of Elijah. And so as John the Baptist came, he came baptizing, it says, wearing camel's hair and eating locusts and wild honey. Well, this must have seemed strange to the people, and they must have thought, man, this guy is kind of trying to dress like Elijah, wearing the camel's hair, and he's doing strange things like Elijah, so maybe he is the Elijah that we're looking for. And so as John came, he came in fulfillment of that ancient prophecy of Isaiah, which says that God is going to send a messenger ahead of him, and he's going to be preparing the way of the Lord, that he's going to be making his path straight. And so they must have believed that John was, in fact, the Elijah that they were looking for. I was wondering about John the Baptist and thinking to myself, what would it have been like had he been had a performance review by a number of minister examiners? And it might have gone something like this. He might have received this sort of letter from them. Dear John ben Zechariah, the Board of Examiners completed their visit and frankly were concerned about several matters pertaining to your person and ministry. Our initial concern was your choice of location. It seems to us that conducting religious services in the Judean wilderness is not very sensible. People have to travel great distances to get there, and there is an unacceptable level of danger traversing to and from said location. Furthermore, we were concerned about your unprofessional attire. We understand that Elijah wore camel hair vestments, but you are not Elijah. It seems that you are turning religion into a matter of entertainment and spectacle. You also failed to treat our examiners in a professional and courteous manner. When they attempted to enter into your rituals that you were performing on people, you signaled them out for humiliation, referring to them as a brood of vipers. The ritual itself leaves much to be desired. If you had completed a degree in theology, you would undoubtedly realize that baptism is reserved for people converting to the one true faith. Is it really necessary to baptize people who are already children of Abraham? Finally, we are concerned about the general tone and tenor of your work.
Your words are harsh. What these people really need is to be affirmed and encouraged. These are troubling times, and your ministry does not do much to help people feel better or to cope with the overwhelming pressures of modern life. Therefore, we respectfully request that you cease and desist in providing religious services until we can further examine your credentials and qualifications. Failure to comply will generate a complaint to King Herod. Now, obviously, something like that might have been written by the Pharisees and the Sadducees, as they really did not like what John was saying. And sometimes people kind of think that we as ministers, we as people that are preachers, really should just be all about kind of make people feel comfortable and trying to help people feel better about their lives and that sort of thing. And there is a degree to that, of that involved in preaching, but there's also a degree in which we as proclaimers of the message of God are called to go on to sometimes proclaim a truth that is hard to hear. Sometimes it comes across maybe as a little bit harsh. And that was certainly the case for John the Baptist. Yet while he was a strange fellow, he was one that really had to come before Jesus entered into his ministry. John the Baptist was really the last of the Old Testament prophets. He was one who had to come before the ministry of Jesus began. He was also one who had to come in order for his fellow Jews to recognize who the real Messiah was and who Jesus Christ really was. And so many, unfortunately, did not accept Jesus as the Messiah, but John's role was to proclaim him in that role. John the Baptist was also essential to Jesus beginning his ministry. We see that Jesus didn't begin his ministry until after he was baptized by John in the Jordan River. And if you recall the story, when Jesus was baptized, the Holy Spirit came upon Jesus in the form of a dove. Now this was to really announce that Jesus was being empowered for the ministry that he would ultimately go on to do while he was on this earth. And so many of the things that Jesus did were also meant to be done by his followers as well. For example, when Jesus was baptized in water, this was something that Jesus did in order to show what his followers would do as well. He did many other things that his followers were to do as well in their ministries. And since Jesus was empowered by the Spirit to do his ministry, doesn't it make sense that we who are his followers would also want to be empowered by that same Spirit to do our ministries? Each one of you has a ministry to which God has called you. Some of those ministries may be a high-profile ministry. Some may be recognized by others, but not so much high-profile. There may be some ministries that nobody recognizes at all that are just between you and God. I remember one lady in a church in which I was a priest many years ago. I was homebound. She couldn't do anything, and she really felt kind of useless. But she began to realize that she could pray. So she began to pray for church members and for others, and she kind of developed that as her ministry. She also went on to write letters of encouragement to church members, and that became a great ministry within the church. So there are all sorts of ministries that are in the church that are available. Some are inside the church, some are outside the church, but God has called each one of us to a particular ministry. And so John the Baptist foretold this empowerment that is needed for our ministries in the Gospel of Matthew today. So if you wouldn't mind turning again to Matthew chapter 3 in the Bibles, in the Pew Bibles, that's page 1503. And we're going to start at verse 11. And John makes this proclamation about Jesus Christ when he says in Matthew chapter 3, starting at verse 11, "I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me comes one more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire." Now, the Holy Spirit coming upon Jesus at his baptism was this baptism of the Holy Spirit about which John is speaking. Jesus would then go on to baptize others in the Holy Spirit, as he promised to do. And so we don't have any record of Jesus baptizing anyone in water. And so this baptism of the Spirit really has to do with something other than simply being baptized in water. This baptism of the Spirit really is not explained until we get to Acts chapter 1. And in Acts chapter 1, starting at verse 4, you don't need to turn there, but this is what it says.
On one occasion, while Jesus was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." He was speaking to apostles and disciples that in preparation for his ascension into heaven. Earlier, he had appeared to them after his resurrection, and it says that he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." He imparted the Holy Spirit to them, but now he was saying to them, "You're still lacking something. You're still missing something that you need. Wait in Jerusalem until you have been clothed with power from on high." And so they were to wait in Jerusalem until they had received this power, this baptism with the Holy Spirit. And so on the day of Pentecost, we read that the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they were then empowered for the ministry that they would go on to do for the Lord Jesus from that time on. And so as they were empowered by the Holy Spirit, Jesus was telling them that they needed this power in order to effectively do the ministry to which he was calling them. And so now if the apostles and disciples of Jesus needed this baptism of the Spirit, this empowering of the Spirit, doesn't it make sense that we as modern day followers would also need this same empowerment in order to do our ministries as well? Certainly, John the Baptist said that they would be baptized with the Holy Spirit and with fire. When a person comes to believe in Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of them, and the Holy Spirit purges them from their sin. It cleanses them from their sin. Fire is a purging or a cleansing agent. And so the Holy Spirit cleanses us from our sins and makes us acceptable to God. And so as the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of us, we are born again of the Spirit. We become children of God, and we become brothers and sisters in Christ. And so as we are born again of the Spirit living inside of us is kind of like what Nicky Gumbel describes in our Alpha Course as a pilot light. The pilot light is something that is on a gas boiler, as he describes, or on a stove, and that pilot light is always on. Now, there are some Christians who we might describe as pilot light Christians. The light is always on, but they're really not fulfilling their true purpose in life. But when the gas is turned on to a gas boiler or a stove, it kind of comes on with a whoosh and it begins to function in the way it's designed to function. It begins to be able to do what it's designed to do. And so in the same way, that pilot light analogy is synonymous with us as Christians. We all as Christians have the light of the Holy Spirit living inside of us. But not all of us are functioning at our full level of our capacity. And so we need this empowerment of the Spirit in order to do that. And so when we come to believe in Jesus Christ, we have this pilot light living within us, and we need the gas to be turned on, if you will. We need the Holy Spirit to be released within us so that we are then empowered to live the sort of lives that he wants us to live and to do the sort of ministry that he wants us to do. Many Christians, including myself, when they're first filled with the Holy Spirit, testify that their faith comes alive. And certainly that was the case for me. There are also Christians who, like the Gentiles in Acts chapter 10, begin to praise God in the tongues of men or of angels. There are Christians that also are filled with the gifts of the Spirit, being able to do things that these Christians in Acts chapter 10 were able to do as well. It's interesting that when the Christians, the Gentiles in Acts chapter 10 were filled with the Holy Spirit, when they were baptized with the Holy Spirit, this happened before they were baptized in water. So we understand that this empowering of the Spirit is something that most often happens after we have become Christians and are born again of the Spirit. So I want to leave you with this question. How about you? Are you a pilot-like Christian? Or are you a Christian that is operating on all cylinders, if you will, a full boiler Christian? Is the pilot light ignited with the gas of the Holy Spirit? Are you working under the power of the Spirit? If you're not, then you can be filled with the Holy Spirit today by simply asking Jesus Christ to fill you. He promises to do that. Many people sometimes have to keep on asking until they really feel like they've received this empowerment of the Spirit. So don't give up. If you ask today and you don't receive, continue to ask until you've been filled to overflowing.
And when you've been filled, then you begin to live your life in a way that you've never lived before. You begin to operate in your ministry in a way that you've never been able to operate before. Christ wants all of us to be filled with the Holy Spirit, to go beyond just being a pilot-like Christian, and to be a fully filled vessel of Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you that you have promised to give your Holy Spirit to anyone who believes in you, and that we have all that we need when we have the Holy Spirit living inside of us. But there are times, Lord, when we need to be filled with your Spirit. We need to be operating with the power that you make available to us through your Holy Spirit. So I have asked, Lord, now that you would fill each person that wants to be filled with your Spirit, that you would fill us from the top of our heads to the bottom of our feet, so we would be operating in the Spirit and the power of your Holy Spirit. Lord, as you do that, you would help us then to not only be better witnesses for you, but also to utilize all of the tools that are available to us through the power of your Holy Spirit. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.